Okay. Our next item on the agenda is a public hearing for conditional use number 2124, Jerry Burke.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an agricultural educational facility with a commercial kitchen to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Bing and Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 3.9785 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the west side of Hudson Road, approximately 400 feet south of Eagles Crest Road. The 911 address is 16040 Hudson Road, Milton. The tax map is District 235, Map 22, Parcel 424. Staff would submit for the record a site plan, the results of the DLDOT service level evaluation, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, a staff analysis. We also received a number of letters in both support and opposition, one with concern. Some of the concerns were some of them just believe it's a residential area and should not be used in a place of business. There is actually one letter in support that has seven signatures on it. However, Charles Camuti would like his name taken off that letter because at that time he did not realize there would be a commercial kitchen and has concerns with that in the residential area. There are some neighbors who have some concerns that it's a residential area. There's several people who believe it's a good use, that it's working with the consortium and Children for Autism and Community Strategies, where they provide vocational training to young adults with disabilities, that, you know, they would be taking care of helping with skill sets and related to agricultural activities. Again, there's the letter with the now six letters and some names on it, that it would be operated as agricultural property with horses and chickens and other different types of vegetation. And then they'd be volunteering to work with kids to learn the various activities on the property. And there were several others who had letters in support, but most of the, and that's all I have.
Okay. This is the stuff we had in our packet, right?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if we got any extra.
There was one new that came in this afternoon, but it was very similar to the others that we had.
Was it in support or in opposition?
It was in opposition.
Okay. Anyone here representing this application?
My name is Jerry Burke, and I want to thank you for considering this application. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to read this statement.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm here to apply for a special use permit to run a nonprofit called the Long Life Institute on my 4-acre property where I reside at 16040 Hudson Road in Milton. I have also included a commercial kitchen in my application if in the future it seems warranted by the educational program that will be established. I intend for the kitchen to be used to prepare and preserve food grown by the students on site for sale off site. The mission of the Long Life Institute is to help educate my community about sustainable land use on small acreages, and to provide vocational agricultural education to disabled children and young adults. I am currently working to establish educational programs with the Director for Vocational Education of the Consortium for Children with Autism in the Cape Henlopen School District, and with the Director and Sussex County Coordinator for Community Integrated Strategies, CIS, which provides vocational education for young adults with developmental disabilities and brain damage. I acquired this property in 1995 while residing part-time in Lewis and began to plant an edible landscape, fruit and nut trees, berries, and annual vegetables and herbs. Shortly after I retired from my full-time job in 2003, while living in full-time in Lewis, I added 2 horses, 2 chickens, and a honeybee apiary. I built a residence on the property in 2016 and have been living there for 1 year. I retired from the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, where I worked most recently as a technical delegate to UN treaty negotiations on climate change, biodiversity, desertification, and sustainable development. I also served as the state conservationist in Maryland, national research coordinator, and director of the National Resources Inventory. I hold a BA in biology and an MS and PhD in soil science. I am also a certified landscape designer and manager. I have taught two courses on the site for Osher Lifelong Learning, Homesteading in Your Backyard, and one for Deltec, Living Green on the LL Ranch, in the Kids on Campus summer program. I've had a number of students over the years who have come to help out on the property and learned all aspects of the various jobs that the property requires. I have given dozens of tours of the property for people to see what can be accomplished on such a property. I hope to continue such educational tours for people interested in protecting the ecosystem in which we live. I have established the Long Life Institute as a nonprofit entity with the state of Delaware and as a 501c3 with the federal government. The property is deeded in trust to this entity, and I thank you for considering this special use permit. You have seen a number of letters. I have letters of support signed by most of my neighbors, both at my property in on Hudson Road and in Lewis, where I did reside, and from a few of the people who have volunteered or visited I call it the LL Ranch. I also have letters from my vet, my farrier, and two special needs educators in support of this project. I understand some of my neighbors are concerned about this inclusion of a commercial kitchen, and I want to stress that the purpose of the commercial kitchen is so that when the students want to prepare foods, which comes in abundance in short periods of time, to bring offsite to sell, they'll have a facility there to process the food. I do not want this to be a sticking point on this application, and one of my neighbors, Bob Smith, is here tonight, who actually was former director of the Consortium for Children with Autism, has inquired, and there is actually a commercial kitchen that is going to be constructed in the facility that's going up around the corner from this property on Sweetbriar Road. So I am very interested in talking about coordinating with existing commercial kitchens to have the food processed off-site. My goal is to have the children have the opportunity to learn the full process of growing plants and preparing them and marketing them, and have the opportunity to do the bookkeeping or whatever on the sales side, and then to perhaps reinvest in plants and or even to get some income out of it. So I hope that addresses the questions that some people have had about my intent. There will be no food delivery or food service on the property, and there will be no people brought in other than the students, and I don't expect there will be more than, on an ongoing basis, 4 or 5 students, occasionally a class of perhaps 20 to come when there's a lot of berries to be picked or pears to be picked up. So it's not a big, ambitious project, but I think it would be very helpful to the community and not only to the students, but to the small farmers who are trying to feed people through the farmers markets or the landscaping companies, that they can build their resumes and get the experience that they need to fill jobs in local industries that are very important. And the property is agriculture residential, and it's in fact deeded that there will be, and all the properties surrounding me in Cripple Creek, in the deed it says that there are 6 animal units allowed on each property. So I thank you for your consideration. I have copies of some additional letters of, that I can.
Can I give them this call? Can I ask a question?
Thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
Yeah, this.
Mr.
Come back.
Ms. Burke, don't run off. Yeah, don't run off. We're going to have some questions for you, but it's an easy process.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll walk through it.
And
Mr. Robertson?
This one's less for the applicant than staff and maybe the public and the commission just to work through this. So, I mean, some of the uses are agricultural, which are permitted uses.
Yes.
Some of them may be permitted, but not on something less than 5 acres, maybe. What triggered the conditional use? Is it because it's being sort of operated for a business, or was it the commercial kitchen, or?
It was the combination. The original for the educational use mm-hmm. would have required a conditional use. And then as we talked, there was more information that came forward
okay.
about, you know, the commercial kitchen and other things that she was looking to do. So we just included
yeah.
that.
Because it seems like it falls in several different categories of the code, some being permitted, some that requires a conditional use. I was just curious what was the triggering point for going the conditional use route. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Ross.
Ms. Burke, just to get a little better understanding of the activities on the outside activities, it's mostly horticultural crops, maybe berries and stuff like that. Are there animals involved, like
yes.
chickens or ducks or any kind of?
I have two horses. Mm-hmm. And there are pastures maintained and hay is produced. It's very small, like hand job kind of hay, not baling, but that's part of the activities. There are two chickens for eggs that are in a little confinement that is moved around each day, and I have an apiary. And unfortunately, I had 12 beehives in the past few years. I'm down to one. The bees are really crashing. It's heartbreaking. But that a lot of the planting has been for the bees, a lot of flowering shrubs. And in the pastures, I allow the flowers to flower, the plants to flower, chicory and a bunch of different kinds of Queen Anne's lace, things that you don't usually see. In residential areas because there's long grass. And this is for the bees and for other pollinators. And there are a lot of fruit trees and nut trees. And so there's horticultural landscaping involved, and there's also agricultural. There's a small greenhouse, and there's a lot of rainwater collection systems that have been designed, and the horses and the chickens use rainwater throughout the winter. There's no winterized water for the animals except in an emergency. Now that I live there, I do have water. So those are all the kinds of processes that people can learn about. I was a landscaper before I went into all this other stuff, so that's a skill also, how to prune trees, how to take care of trees. And so that's why Sposato is right across the street from me, that this could provide employees for Sposato as well as individual homeowners. So.
Okay. We'll see if we're going to have some questions. Each commissioner may have some questions for you. We're going to start with Mrs. Hoey Stevenson.
So you were saying that it's you're thinking at the most it would maybe be 20 people on the lot at a time, or how often? I know people are very concerned about car traffic there. Kind of.
Yeah, I think, you know, there might be like a class to bring on certain occasions to see, just to take a tour and look at the place as an ongoing number. I would say 4 or 5 at most per day.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect that the CIS has described their program to me where they have 4-hour day for like several months with the same small group of students. And they have aides with them at all times during that process. And but they have a larger group sometimes come in to just look at the property and see what kind of work is there to see who might be interested in going off on a longer-term basis. So from time to time, I see a larger group like that. The property is, it's a very long, narrow property.
So you win the prize tonight for the weirdest shaped lot, I got to say.
It was actually designed by the Hudsons, who did that development as a buffer, as a green buffer. And I had the opportunity to have Jody Hudson out visiting before he passed away, and he was so happy with the way I was doing it, agriculture. He said, this is what we'd hoped for this development, to make it agriculturally oriented. So, and he actually built the barn with recycled wood, which, but the point is that it seems like it's 40 acres when you're walking in there because it's so long and narrow. And, you know, so when you have a group of people, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's crowded with 20 people. Although I don't know if I've ever actually had 20 people at one time. I think I've had maybe 10. So...
My lot's smaller than that, and I've had 20 people, so I'm not that worried.
Department of Transportation did not think there would be an impact that they needed to.
I just wondered if
they
have parking or so.
There's a very long driveway that goes from Hudson Road to the barn, which you can see is that white structure in the middle, and there's parking areas on both sides. None of it's paved. I have all shells on the drive and like to get it all in grass. So, but it's parkable. It's not soft, and you can drive anywhere really on the property, but and park in a field. So, but I don't expect there to be a lot of cars there at any time. I would like at some point probably to do the Milton Garden tour, and you know, then you have a lot of traffic. So,
For the day. And then what would your general hours of operation be?
Well, it would follow the school year, like 8 to 2, something like that, or 8 to 12, depending on what CIS does.
And do you have any equipment that you would be working early in the day or late at night that makes noises that we would get calls about?
No. I mean, there is a tractor that every twice a year maybe I mow the hay, but it's usually, you know, like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. Certainly not, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't get up that early.
Okay. All right. That's it. And yes, I used to own property in Cripple Creek, so yes, you can have pigs in Cripple Creek if you want.
Hot belly or otherwise?
Otherwise, you can have...
There's horses in there.
Yeah,
too,
there's horses. Yeah, it was the deal, they had giant lots, and then they made them the 2 to 4 acre lots, and they made them as farmettes, so you could have horses or pigs or chickens on them if you want.
Cool.
That was all my questions. Thank you.
So if the kitchen were installed, where would it be?
There is an existing structure. You can see it in the back in the corner there. That's it. It's 760 square feet. It's an all-steel cottage that Joss Hudson constructed, actually. And that's where it would be. And I actually use that as a kitchen now, but I don't have any water. I have to carry water. I use rainwater, and there's rainwater that is pumped into there. But if the students are going to sell anything, they can't use that. So that's why I thought to upgrade it. But it would be a pretty good investment because it requires the whole septic system and the pump, well, and besides, like, bathrooms. There's a compost toilet there that is operational, but... There's no running water in that house. It's not a house. It's a garden shed is what it is. So, but that's where it would be, and it would require some capital investment. And that's why I'm not like adamant about the commercial kitchen. That's not the centerpiece. That's maybe in the future, if it seems like it would be worth it. And if I don't, there's no other opportunity to process the food to sell.
So I'm just noting that the lot is kind of narrow. What is the width of the lot? I see the frontage, it says 150 feet, but that's on a little bit of an angle. Oh, here, I can add three numbers up. Looks like 50, in this one thing, 53 plus 20 plus 55 or something.
120, something like that, 130.
Yeah, something like that. So what's the setback on the buildings from property lines?
So for an accessory structure, if it's less than 600 square feet, it can be 5 feet from the property line. If it's over 600 square feet, it's AR1, it would have to be 15 feet from the property lines.
So it only has to be 15?
Correct.
And then we talked about, too, that the stables have to be, well, the building for keeping of animals have to be located at least 50 feet from a lot line and 100 feet from a dwelling. And Ms. Cornwell and I are kind of looking at that, and they're in compliance with that.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah.
Yes.
It looks like it,
yeah.
Yeah, I see the 50. I guess the horse barn is the long, narrow one?
Yeah.
And I guess getting in and out, you say that, so I drove in the lane. The fence was closed off, but the lane up to the house didn't really give me enough room to turn around in. So would your plan be that people, when they came in, they would drive past the house back to the back somewhere and turn around and come back out?
Yeah, they could turn around in front of the barn or behind the barn, or you can turn around if you don't mind putting your wheels on grass right at the house. I turn around there every day.
Well, yeah, if you had just like one car there, maybe.
Well, yeah, as many cars are parked, they can all like turn around and somewhere in there. But there is, if you have, I have a trailer, horse trailer, and I pull it up to the barn and back it in front of the barn and turn it around right there. I think you can see the trailer right there, the truck. Front of the barn.
So what would be examples of some of the food that the students would be prepared for?
Well, I have a lot of blackberries, so blackberry jam. I have a lot of pears, pear sauce. I don't know if dehydrating is considered preparing, but there's that. Tomatoes, tomato sauce, dehydrated. That's what I've been doing. I have a lot of gift baskets that I give. Here, take them. So that's the kind of stuff that there are peaches, there are apples, applesauce, peach salsa. There's a lot of opportunities to create different recipes with the stuff that you can grow.
Well, I grew up with horses and chickens, just a few. I might have had twice as many as you, I don't know, but four. But sometimes I had none, depending on whether the raccoons could get into where we kept the chickens. Yeah, it's great. It's great to be able to offer that service.
The kids love the chickens because they're in an A-frame on wheels, and I pull it around every day. And the kids go in there and they pet them, and they love those chickens. They're very accessible
right.
to children.
And the horses. Okay, yeah. I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Hope?
Not so much for you, but I guess for Janelle or somebody, why would you have to specifically ask for a kitchen? Can't you just put a kitchen in?
Well, it gets into, if it's a commercial kitchen and you're producing something that's not permitted necessarily in AR1 without a conditional use, but I think it's the combination sort of everything that led to this is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it was the educational facility along with a commercial kitchen potentially in the future, and it's like, how do we address it all? So we just kind of got specific about the one use and then the commercial kitchen as well.
Better be safe than sorry, that's for sure.
Yeah, we want to make sure everything was included, so if it does get approved, then those items are addressed.
But if they wanted to take the stuff and just take it out to the front of the road, put up a little fruit stand, that's permitted in
yeah.
AR1.
No, absolutely. It's not permitted in that property because of the restrictions from
So that's different than zoning.
Yeah, there's a private, it sounds like there's a private deed restriction, but from the county-wise, if you grow something on your property, you can actually have a little stand out front and to sell it.
So there won't be that on this. They have to take it someplace else.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Mr. Wheatley.
Yes, let me ask you about this, about the commercial kitchen and how you intend to use it, because it seems to be that's what has folks concerned. Do you have any intentions to feed people here?
No.
Do you have any intentions to run a homeless operation here?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And the purpose of your kitchen is simply to prepare that which is grown on your site to process it so that it can be sold or given away and preserved. Is that true?
That's correct.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Yeah, it strikes me that we're getting hung up on the term commercial kitchen. Yeah. It's a kitchen facility. It's not going to be,
That's the point of my question.
Right. Right.
It's drawing way more attention than it deserves. It's just not an issue.
Yeah, the educational value seems appropriate.
It does indeed.
Ms. Burke, if you have a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone has any interest in your application.
Thank you
very much. Okay. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak in favor of conditional use 2124, Jerry Burke? Yes, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. The young lady in the back was quick to raise her hand, so I'm going to recognize her. And sir, you'll be next.
In favor, right?
In favor.
I appreciate the young adjective.
Yeah. We'll need your name and address for the record, too.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So, if I am allowed, I would speak for two people here.
That's fine. Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the first person I would like I voice what my son would say. Because he
Your name and address, please.
I'm sorry?
Your name and address.
Diana Barry, 105 Dewey Avenue, Lewis, Sussex.
Thank you.
So, my husband and I wanted my son to be busy when he was out of school, middle school and high school. So we asked Ms. Jerry Burke to let him volunteer on her property. So we wanted him to spend his energies and to work with his muscles. So Ms. Burke accepted very graciously, and so my
Can
son...
Can you raise your mic just a little bit?
People in the audience are having trouble hearing.
So my son has been volunteering for kind of several years on the property of Ms. Jerry Burke. And so because we wanted to keep him busy and spend his energy with some handwork. And it turned out that actually Ms. Jerry Burke helped him much more than he could possibly help her, because she took time to teach him how to take care of a farm in a sustainable manner. She taught him so many secrets about nature, about environmentally sound techniques for farming. And so he learned a great deal. It turned out to be an excellent learning experience over the years, because he wanted always to go back there. And besides that, he was extremely happy to learn. He's now, he cannot come today. He's a PhD student at Princeton University today. So, and unfortunately, he could not come because he has work to do. But he wanted definitely to speak in support of Ms. Jerry Burke, because he's very grateful for what she has taught to him about nature. And actually, this environmental side of this type of education that Jerry Burke was speaking about, right, helped him a great deal to become a better individual, a better citizen, a better community, part of the community, because he's reproducing this also to others. Now, the second person I would like to speak for is myself, because I have learned to know Ms. Jerry Burke since 16 years. And Well, I have rarely known a person who is so selfless, so generous. She's devoted to community. No time someone needs help, she would not offer without the person needing to ask for her. And she is extremely knowledgeable, scientifically knowledgeable, in support of her beautiful ideas, noble ideas of teaching this disabled children. I guess that we rarely see nowadays selfless initiatives which are not connected to any earning, non-profit, true non-profit initiatives, which are oriented towards young kids. And
Can you speak just a little louder, please?
Louder, yes. I don't think that there could be a more noble initiative for a community, a residential community should be proud of what Jerry Burke wants to do, because, of course, many are lucky not to have disabled children, but some are unlucky, and a close-knit community should be really thinking for the greater good, right? So I am in favor of Jerry Burke initiative, and I support her 100%.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sir, I've overlooked you, and you wanted to come up in favor.
No, I just was saying,
Okay. Anyone else want to speak in favor?
No. Yeah, did you want to speak in favor when you raised your hand?
No.
Okay,
because you raised your hand when he asked if you want to speak in favor. That's, I just don't want to give you an opportunity to speak if you didn't want to. So,
anyone want to speak in opposition to this application? Well, since your hand is back up again, we'll start over there with you.
My name is Ed Coviello. I reside on Cripple Creek Run. I've been there for 2 years, and Jerry is my neighbor. I'm at the very beginning.
What's your address, sir?
5 Cripple Creek Run.
Okay, thank you.
And my house, my backyard abuts her property. Mm-hmm. Some of the things she refers to, and I'm very close to her in terms of feet from the property, I do not see on her property. I will say that I don't know exactly what she intends to do, because when she had spoken to me at one time, she told me not to mow my lawn, do not cut it, to stay with the environmental type of living, which I'm not in favor of. And this is a big residential area that we live in. We have 46 homes in our HOA. And I don't think I could get away with doing what she's going to do if I try to do it on Cripple Creek Run. We don't need this kind of an operation there. It's not needed. We're going to be paying multi-millions of dollars for the new school that's going up on Sweetbriar Road. For the last few years, I subbed there, and I put in a particularly great deal of time at the consortium. And those kids have to be watched very carefully. They have to have... If they go to the property, they'll have to go by buses, and those buses will not be able to make a turn once they get on Jerry's property. It's just not wide enough, and those requirements are very strict. At least that's the way they are up in New York, and I assume it's probably the same down here.
I wouldn't make that assumption.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Well, maybe it should be like New York. Let's put it that way.
Good.
I think, really, what
I'm glad you're here to straighten me out.
Excuse me?
I said, I'm glad you're here to straighten me out.
Well, you can listen. I learn something.
Tell me more.
In addition to that, she would probably need a men's room and a ladies' room in order to provide bathrooms for the people who are going to attend there. I don't know if she's considered that. I heard her speak about it, and I'm assuming that anything along those lines will be in the outbuilding and not in her residence.
Well, so the application is for land use approval, conditional use for land use. So she would have to go through all the customary permitting, you know, for whatever agency govern that, septic or restrooms, street design and all that is with the county. So let's try to stay focused on the land use approval. Is this appropriate conditional use for the land or not?
Well, from my perspective, I don't think it's a proper use for the land. I've been a neighbor of hers for about 4 years, and I don't see how it's going to benefit any children. Remember when I was there, she asked me to take a look at a watermelon garden, and all it was weeds. I hate to be so personal about this, but when I listened to her talk about being a landscaper, I don't see.
Let me ask a question before, because what you're talking about are all things that she can do on her property, because it's AR1 land, whether she gets this conditional use or not. The concerns you have really have nothing to do with whether this conditional use is approved or not.
Well, did anyone here see the property, or does that?
I can assure you that everybody here.
We've all been by it.
Property.
Yeah. We also, yes, and we also know exactly what's permitted in AR1 land.
Okay.
It strikes me that, sir, with all due respect, that you moved in here, I don't know if it was 2 years ago or 4 years ago, but she was in operation at the time that you moved in, from what her testimony was.
Well, I never noticed it. That's for certain. I've never seen. I don't think the lawn was mowed once when I was there. But as far as the rest of the issues concerning the busing, I would think, of the children, I just don't think it's the right place to have a facility like this. They have what they call, I'm trying to think of the name, like cubicles in the consortium school going up, and it's to show the autistic kids what a kitchen is like, how it's used, and that type of things. And I don't see why they can't do a lot of this at the school as opposed to doing it on Jerry's property.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And I apologize for being a little more personal, but that's where I live.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. We can try to stay focused on the conditional use. It would be helpful to the commission. Okay.
Yeah, this is I'm Robert Smith, mm-hmm. and we have lot 19.
Which one is it?
On the corner.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. That's our lot.
You're the one who bought that lot.
Yes.
I made a bid on that, and you bought it out from under me.
Right. my biggest concern at this point in time is that I haven't really seen a detailed plan about what kind of educational facility would go there. The size of the facility for the kitchen and its type of use, whether there's any existing contracts or agreements with school districts for what kids are coming to the program. So, you know, those are some issues that I have. I checked with the consortium today and asked them about their kitchens. They're going to have two apartments with regular types of kitchens in those apartments for the kids. And then they're also going to have a small commercial type kitchen where they can do training. So that's a resource that's available without having the commercial kitchen on the property. Sussex Tech, if there's kids that come over with internships or something like that in farming, of course Sussex Tech has a commercial kitchen. Delaware Tech has a commercial kitchen in Georgetown. So if any of those types of kids are coming over, there may be agreements that could be done. My biggest concern is also that with the nonprofit, so far there's no board of directors and no bylaws to govern the mission and future decisions. Jerry might very well want to just have small groups of kids there, but should something happen to Jerry
and this is turned over to a, you know, a board of directors that right now doesn't exist or have a mission or anything like that, how could that change the nature of this project?
Well, once we set the conditions on as a commission, they apply to whomever she might pass it on to. So the conditions would be the same for whomever inherited or went on with it. If she stopped using or it stopped being used for the conditional use for a three-year period, it would automatically expire.
Can there be restrictions on the number of people that would use the commercial
kitchen?
Yeah, we
can put numerical restrictions on, absolutely. And that was the reason for Mrs. Hoey Stevenson's questions about the number of students to be at each sitting. My limited experience with autistic individuals, and it's very limited, is that it's much hands-on, one-on-one. So you're not going to have large groups in that setting. So I don't think that's going to be an issue.
And you wouldn't want large groups.
No, you would not want large. I ran the consortium for 10 years.
So I think the commission is aware and cognizant of that.
Okay.
And the other thing I would add to that, too, is that it sounds like there's a concern, that, to your point, that you know, if it gets approved, and I don't know whether it will or not, but at some point, you know, it would be approved for one thing, then it would expand to something else. And the commission in the past has put, you know, limitations on conditional uses to say that, you know, if there is an expansion beyond the existing buildings, for example, that would require a new public hearing, or if there's an expansion beyond some trigger point, that would require a public hearing, so that, you know, it's not as though a conditional use could get approved and then that opens the door to a complete change in what's occurring on the property.
And I think, you know, some of the concerns might be alleviated with some type of screening along the borders of that property. You know, some planting, some type of tall hedge or something like that that might allay some fears.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take that into consideration.
Ross?
Yes.
Can we ask the applicant to respond to the transportation question? It's a good question about how folks might be arriving and departing from your facility and what types of vehicles. Are we envisioning school buses, or what are we thinking of?
Well, as I said, I was talking to the coordinator for the vocational education program for the consortium.
Right.
And CIS. And I don't know what their means of transportation are, that we didn't get to that point.
Okay.
I can't imagine that they would have a huge bus for four or five people.
Right.
But maybe, you know, when they want to bring a larger group, they would have a larger bus. And there is room in that on that property to turn around a large vehicle.
If this gets approved, you'll have to go through a site plan process. Anyway, so all those things, those ingress and egress issues and all those things will have to be accommodated just like any other use of that type. So it won't be that you'll just be able to start doing whatever you need to do. You'll have to go through a site plan process if it gets approved. So.
Is that for running this in the existing buildings?
It's just a site plan.
Your highway entrance and so on.
We'll make a recommendation to council. Council will finally determine whether to approve it or not. Then you'll have to come in with a preliminary a site plan. It'll be reviewed by the staff and the commission, and make sure you get all your state agency approvals, and then we would do a final site plan approval. It's everyone goes through the same process. It's not as complicated as it sounds.
but it's just a way to make sure that issues like the one the gentleman's asking about, which is a very fair question, get addressed. And that's the process by which those things will get addressed. Yeah. That's all it is.
Good point, Mr. Wheatley. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? All the way in the back, the lady in blue.
I'm Deborah Spellman. I live at the very end of the Cripple Creek, very end of development. So I don't have any adjoining property, but I have an interest in it because I drive by it every day. I'm not on the board. I was the architectural review chairman for 10 years, so I am kind of familiar with the covenants and restrictions. And
can you speak up, please, or bring the mic closer to you?
I am pretty familiar with the covenants and restrictions of Cripple Creek, of which this property is included in.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yes.
Okay.
Deed restricted. It's my understanding, although I did not pull the deed myself.
Okay.
So in our restriction, even in our covenants, we have a no, you can operate a business, but you can't have customer traffic. And that, I mean, it's attached to our deeds. Whether it's it got transferred and attached to this deed, I'm pretty sure it would apply. And so therefore, you know, on those grounds, having, although it is a noble cause and a very worthwhile farm, I've been on the farm. I've returned horses to the farm when they got out from their electric tape fence, non-lawful, I might add. But it is a good project. It's not as big as it seems. The horses are fielded on Cripple Creek property on one of the neighbors' yards adjacent to her property. I believe it is lot 398 on the map. That whole back quadrant is taped in for her horses. As far as I know, that long leg with the point on it is not used for anything, and it's really not visible from anywhere on the land. I mean, that might be good for fruit trees and other things, but I mean, to have animals stored back there is probably not the best idea. I don't know if you do that.
I don't store animals.
I mean, field your horses there.
Ma'am, if you have a question for the applicant, you'll ask me, and we'll decide whether to ask her or not.
Okay, so that's the position. The lot is small. She's already using part of Cripple Creek property with the owner's permission, and we don't care, and our deed requires that there is no customer traffic.
Okay.
We understand that it's on a very busy road. I don't know if you've been on Hudson Road around
all the time.
40 miles an hour. People often do not go that, you know, unless they're turning. So to even have a farm stand there is really absurd. I mean, there is no shoulder.
I don't think she was requesting a produce stand.
That was just something I was throwing out there. What would be permitted on AR1 property?
But your deed comment, deed restriction is something we're going to have to review.
Yeah, we'll have to look it up.
I mean, that's something that has to be investigated for sure because that's an issue.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? There's a man and gentleman in the green on the right side.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
John Gardowski, 16,000 Hudson Road. My property is surrounded by the Burke land. I'm that big pie shape along Hudson Road. And my son's property is at the top corner. His address is 15402. Jerry Burke, I'm sure, has good intentions with this, but her property is a study in third world nation look, believe me. It's absolutely horrendous. She has two buildings on site that I'm sure were not permitted. One of them is on my property. Another issue I'm concerned with is liability of children roaming around, even liability on my property. Parking is definitely an issue. She put a driveway in. It's on my property. She put the driveway right over the property marker. I had it marked. 10 minutes later, the marker was gone. I asked her where it was. She had no idea, supposedly. Conditions of the building on the property are bad. There are two buildings built from brought in junk. Literally. If you don't believe me, go look. What she wants to do sounds great, but I don't think it's going to fly. The conditional use, I would like the area to remain residential. I moved on my property in 1970. If she's a landscaper, she better go back to school. The water and sewer in the back, I don't think she's allowed to put a well in back there because of the horse manure. And as far as septic, I think there's an on-site composting septic in that little building. So I'm opposed to it, as you may tell, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No. Yes, sir.
She's on the property that's 95.
My name is John Doran. I'm at 15425 Hudson Road. I came here tonight to learn. I didn't really know what this was all about, and I came to listen and absorb, and I think what you're proposing is a wonderful thing. The reason I'm speaking in opposition is because I don't think there's a good game plan. I think it sounds like we're going to figure this out on the fly. That's the way it sounds to me. I live right across the street, and that's uncomfortable. That's all I wanted to say, and I'd ask you to consider that.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Carolyn Burgess. I live at 16089 Hudson Road. I've had visitors from both sides of this, and I know that the concern is exactly what the last gentleman said. We're here approving a dream. I've never seen a proposal in my business life that doesn't have a mission, a proposal, a plan, an agreement, an understanding of what the school wants to do, how they're going to get there, where they're going to park. And I really would think that you would want the existing buildings that are going to be used to have been permitted buildings. I have heard nothing about these buildings are safe and adequate. Has the school seen these buildings? I just am surprised at the comment. The Corps will not be doing that, but it may evolve later to more classes. None of us, old just neighbors, know that when you're considering approving this dream, that it wasn't approved, go do it. When I hear that there's all these guidelines and limitations of the conditional approval that you would be considering granting, all of our alleviations, calm down a lot. But my great-grandson is autistic. I do know, and I have spent many years learning, and there are dangers. We have swimming pools. We have animals that shouldn't be too lovingly petted if they would happen to get away.
But, ma'am,
that's what we're saying.
We don't get into how many classes she has.
We don't know.
It's not part of our decision-making process. Ours is to put land use conditional uses on the property. Any agreement she would have with the school would have to cover those things. We don't get involved into the issues of how the students would be transported or how they would be managed on the site. That would be something the school or the autistic parents and children would have to make an agreement with the applicant. That's not our purview.
What do you approve for her? What do you say she can do?
We would allow her to have a land use with conditional use. So we would say specifically, here are the things you can do on this property. Here are the conditions. It might be setbacks. It might be different things like that, specific to the application.
And the buildings are just assumed.
The buildings are already existing. She's not asking to build any new buildings that I can recall. The buildings that are there are existing.
Also, if they're existing, they don't have to be to
code. We may look into that.
Well, certainly the concern about the lack of permits and so on. But let me come at this a little different direction for everyone's benefit. What this group is concerned with is just how the land's going to be used. We're sort of like the first stop in a very long chain of events before, and I'm concerned that the applicant may not understand everything that she's signing up for, because the land use is just one piece of it, and no one, and we're not really approving anybody's dreams. We don't approve or disapprove dreams. You know, we approve or disapprove land use, and And what we're being asked is to permit this land to be used in a particular way. And one of the good things about this process, this conditional use process, is that we can place really as many conditions on that as we want. And you may have gathered from some of the questions that have been asked the kinds of conditions that might be placed would be the number of folks, the hours of operation, limitations about noise, outside storage, different activities that can take place. So we have that, that is in our purview. As far as all of the other things, there are probably 12 other agencies that will be involved in this before she's done.
See, I don't
know that that even she's aware of that, but there will be once a conditional use is issued, in order to start doing anything, there has to be an approved site plan. And the development of that site plan is when many of those issues that you're concerned about will have to be answered and resolved. Not the least of which is what you mentioned about buildings, because that certainly would be a concern of ours if the buildings were built without permits and so on.
And what I wanted to say is, it's so much to you may sound as if we're from fancier places, like not the only county east of the Mississippi where you can have your grass tall. I mean, you know, some people don't know that, but I do.
Right.
And when we say it's ugly and she should be about it, she's not a landscaper, that sounds petty. And I didn't want you to hear that without the concerns.
Sure.
That were valid about the buildings and things.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. And if we knew what we know now, it would have been a lot less worrisome.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, young lady all the way in the back. Just 1 second, sir. This young lady's coming up.
Hi, everybody. My name is Danica Paul. I live at 20 Cobble Creek Run. This is me right here. I have a perfect view down here every day. So I accidentally had these pictures I took for another project, but I wanted to let you know what Mr. Dargowski was talking about. I have pictures of the way that she maintains her property. This piece right here, that is like this.
We need you to speak at the mic.
Because it has to be recorded. Thanks.
That piece over there is probably an acre she doesn't use for anything. So this piece of land that she says feels like 40 acres. She is putting her horses into that piece of land right there, which is someone else's property, and that is the way that she maintains it. So she's asking to do this on a small piece of land that she is not maintaining, and her horses aren't even on her property. She is spilling over already.
I think that's something she's already allowed to do, though. That's not why she's here. She's not here to get permission to put horses.
No, I understand, but people are going to build on that piece of property, and these people looking to sell. That piece of property is going to go away very soon, and her property is going to get much smaller than what she's using already, is the point I'm trying to make, and that she does not maintain it well.
So what you're saying is that lot where the horses are, that's up for sale, so that the ability to keep the horses on that property may not continue.
Right, the people that are there are constantly talking about downsizing, and the people that live right behind them are going to be building soon, which is Mr. Smith. They came up and talked earlier. So that fence is unlawful and was probably, if someone complained, would have to come down. Those horses would have to be moved anyway. So her property is going to get much smaller than what it appears to be, or what she uses if you drive down that you would think is hers and that she would be using.
I'm not familiar with whether it's lawful or unlawful. I didn't know that was there an unlawful, or is there a fence law that says
that
there is
of?
A fence law. It has to be 40 inches for horses, and she's using a probably 2-foot electric fence to maintain her horses in.
Well, in height?
Did you call anybody, or?
No, I've just been actually researching this week for a different project, and I took those pictures to compare it to another project. So that's why I had those pictures of me, but I just want you to see the way that
is she trespassing it to your knowledge?
No, I don't think so. No.
So she has the landowner's permission to use it?
Yes.
Okay.
But if she has what she feels is 40 acres, because it feels so large, I don't know why she wouldn't be using her own property. Is what I'm, it's just the point I'm trying to make. It's not as big as she's making.
Well, it could be as simple as a matter of convenience. One thing that people get confused about sometimes, or it's hard to accept, is that as people try to do things organically, or I'm going to use a word probably inappropriately, holistically, then you see less what we consider normal maintenance and more what they consider natural maintenance. So it is different looking. To Dr. Burke, it's probably beautiful. To someone else that's used to a manicured environment, it's probably awful. So it's just one of those deals.
Yeah. I think it's worth mentioning, too, that Sussex County does not have an aesthetic ordinance. We just don't have one. We do have some regulations about how high the grass can be, but that's about it. We don't define ugly. So we don't know. I mean,
well, if they wanted
to, I don't know what it is. I mean, you know.
How high can grass be? Do you know?
12 inches, I think.
Yeah, 12 inches. I can't remember. But
8 to 12.
Yeah.
Rarely enforced.
Something like that.
8 to 12.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We'd have to look into that.
Yeah, and so we really don't have the ability to.
There's no,
yeah, right.
There's no pasture. There's no pasture ordinance for height.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You wanted to come up.
Yes, my name is George Gross. I live directly back of the property there. My main concern: I'm worried about the children. We have three swimming pools just on our side alone. That fence out there is not going to keep children away from going in our pools. Also, the police is a disaster. If I had children, I would not let them on that property. Here's a picture where the kitchen's going to be. If you have anybody.
You can give the picture too.
Do you have a fence around your pool?
Yes, I do. Also, where her chickens are, I guess you're allowed to do something like this, but this is, kids are going to enjoy this. This is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's just a matter of opinion.
Yeah, you're getting into an area that we
Also, I'm concerned about, you say about the buildings there. I have one, here's one of the pictures of the buildings here. You wouldn't let children go in this building. Ridiculous.
I believe that's just your opinion, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's just my opinion.
And how
also, you're talking about the animals over there and stuff. About the bees. You're going to have children over there with those honeybees? Those honeybees get out all the time. They come in my yard at least, they've been in my yard at least four times. You can be out there in the swimming pool and the bees come swarming over and you have to go in the house. I've had them in my backyard, my trees, and she's destroyed my trees in my backyard.
Okay, let's talk to the commission.
Okay.
And, sir, we don't regulate honeybees. That's,
can't tell them where to fly.
Yeah, we don't tell them where to fly.
But I would not let these children around these bees or around these swimming pools. That's my main concern. Here's also a picture. This is my front yard. This is the bees. Those bees swarm within minutes.
So are those bees, though, is that a natural hive, or is that...
No, they're from her hive. They come in my... That's out my front yard.
So that's a tree in your property.
Yes, it is. About 10 foot from my porch. My front yard. Last year, I had a party on my deck that night, and the bees swarmed in another tree. Within 15 foot, we had to come in the house. I can't see where you'd have children around them. Those beehives could be 4 foot off the ground, and those kids, they don't know any better. They can go over and touch it. These bees will kill them.
Sir, you have to calm down a little bit, okay?
Bees are about the kids.
The bees are quite natural. You'd be amazed about it. Hundreds of thousands of bees are around you at all times. You don't even know they're there. Honeybees are not naturally aggressive to people. They aren't. Now, if you bother the hive, they may
They may not.
But they're not. And they do swarm, and it's quite natural. It's not something that's unique to this particular property. These particular photos of this hen house are quite amazing, in my opinion. They're unique, but really cool. That's one of the fanciest little hen houses I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you. Having grown up on a farm and still living on one, I'm quite impressed. Can we get off the bees and get back to whatever conditions you might think are appropriate to satisfy your concerns?
I just worry about the children. I worry about the bees. I worry about the swimming pools. There's swimming pools there. What if you're not? I can't believe his kids will come right through that fence.
Right through which fence?
Your the fence? No, they have. She has just a three-boarded fence back there. Of course, everybody, we in our neighborhood, we all have fences around our pools. Mm-hmm. But you can't control these children. When they come up the fence, they'll climb right over your fence.
I don't know that the children are going to be running loose and unsupervised, but even if they were, and even if they...
Are they going to be that supervised? You work with these children.
Have you worked with these children?
Yes, I did. I worked at Eastern State School and Hospital in Pennsylvania as a child care worker.
Okay, and what kind of hospital was that?
It's for disturbed children that have problems up to 18 years old.
Disturbed? What was your position at the hospital?
A child care worker.
What's that
mean? We take the children in and out of the cottages and bring them in for their lunches and stuff. We just work with them. I wasn't anything special. Just work for that particular children.
Do you do that kind of work now, or are you retired?
No, I don't. I'm retired.
Well, this is a great volunteer opportunity for you.
No, thank you.
Someone with your level of knowledge and so on to return something back to the community that you now call your home, that would be a great idea. Something to think about.
Well, thank you for listening to me. I'm sorry if
it even happens.
Went out a little too far, but I worry about the kids and the point anybody. It's a father or mother. You worry about the kids. I wouldn't want anybody to get hurt. I would be so hurt.
But it sounds like your concern is the same as if a family with eight kids moved next door. That's kids. What would you do then?
Well,
so if there's four or five kids at a time there, you know, how is that any different? Oh, I'm sorry. Any different from a family living there that had four or five kids?
I'm just worried about the children that don't have supervision, and we have pools, and I would be devastated, and we all would be devastated. If a child got hurt on our pools,
we would.
Oh, absolutely. No
absolutely.
Doubt.
No question.
That's all I've got to say. But thank you for listening to me.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Hello, my name's Stephanie Smith, and we own the lot at 19 Cripple Creek. I just have a quick comment question. I wondered if when someone asks for a special use or conditional use, like changing our zoning so they could have an educational facility, if you would consider whether or not a needs assessment should be done to justify approving a change in the zoning to have an educational facility.
This is not a change in zone. The zoning, the underlying zoning is AR. It's going to remain AR. It's a conditional use, which is being applied for because it is listed as a permissible use under with conditions in the AR zone. So the zoning does not change.
Okay. I'm sorry. I used the wrong term. But my question really at the root of that is, in your decision making, do you consider whether or not there is a substantiated need for this? And what I mean is, I'm just wondering if Dr. Burke could present that actually Cape Henlopen School District and Sussex Tech and the other educational institution she's considering would actually see the need for this and follow up to actually use the property in this way.
I mean, I think it's a reasonable point to make, but you could also look at it from the other perspective. If there's not a need, then it wouldn't be used and the conditional use would automatically expire.
Right.
So giving the applicant the opportunity to demonstrate that the need is there and use the conditional use, there's no harm, no foul. If it's not used, no problem. And if it is used, hopefully we put the conditions on where the council agrees with the conditions if it gets that far. We only make a recommendation to council. And then there it goes that way. So it's easier to not try to be all-knowing and make that decision in advance. It's better to give the property owner the opportunity if it's decided that the conditional use is appropriate.
Right. Well, I hope you do, if you go forward, put conditions on it so that all this discussion about the purpose of this, the educational purpose, that really is very clear, because that can make a dramatic difference in how it affects the property owners.
We agree.
And I think that that buffer that my husband suggested would alleviate a lot of concerns, too.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll certainly take that into consideration. Anyone else want to speak in opposition?
Seeing Mr. Ross, just for the benefit of the public, too, there seems like there's two competing issues that are occurring here, too. There's one is what the county's zoning ordinance, zoning code says you can and can't do on a property. As we talked about, this is zoned AR1, and there's a lot of agricultural type uses that are permitted in AR1 land. That's one side of things that the county and county council and these folks can regulate. But it also sounds like there may be, and this we're going to look at, I'm sure, you know, because this plays into a little bit the county's decision, but there's also a private right of enforcement. If there's restrictive covenants that prohibit this from happening, the county really doesn't have any say over those. Those are private sort of contractual property issues. So there may be, you know, a separate area of concern that the residents of Cripple Creek have in that regard that we don't have any control over.
Anyone else on the commission have any questions?
I think we have another man who has a quick.
Maybe two.
We have an opposition? Yes, sir. Sorry. I didn't see you.
It's David. Sorry.
No problem.
My name is Archie Holden. My wife and I live at 34 Cripple Creek Run. And obviously, we're against this. And basically, it's still a nonprofit business, and we don't feel that it should be allowed in a residential area. Mr. Robertson, at the beginning of this hearing, you mentioned some conditions conflict. Can you specify what you were alluding to on there?
I don't think I said any conditions conflict. It might have been when
I wrote it down when you, and I was just, I just.
No, well, I know one of the gentlemen that spoke was talking about things that he objected to, which are permitted, whether it's a business or not, in AR1 land. I don't know that I stated, I'm certain I didn't state that any conditions conflict. And what conditions, maybe give me some context on that. So,
it just, when you said it, I wrote it down, and I just, because we couldn't do it at the time. So that's all I have, gentlemen.
When you gave the application for the permit for the conditional use, there were
Oh, no, that's right. No, okay, so that helps me out. It wasn't, I was thinking conditions with regard to conditional use. What I was saying was there's certain things that sound like they're occurring on the property now that fall into one category that are permitted in AR1. There are other things that she's doing that may fall into the category that requires a conditional use, and then there's still other things that sort of don't cleanly fall into any category. That's, I'm sure, not exactly how I said it before, but it's kind of just describing what sounds like it's occurring there now versus what she wants to do and trying to figure out where that fits, whether it's permitted, whether it requires a conditional use, whether it requires some other sort of permit from the county. So just, that was in our, at the very beginning of this, trying to figure out why we're even here, frankly. That was the question for staff. So thanks.
Well, just as the old man of the group, and sometimes a cranky and rude old man, and I apologize for that. The thing that troubles me most about what I've heard this evening is the potential that there is a deed restriction that doesn't permit any of this.
Right.
Seems to me that that's the first thing that needs to be resolved, and we may not need to be spending any more time with this. You know, and I think that would be the first order of business. If I were the homeowners association, that's what I would be researching. So,
and
there was one more in the back.
Was someone?
Regarding the petition before this one, we were in the hall. We were asking questions, trying to walk around here as fast as we could, and we missed our opportunity to comment. So I was just wondering if you could comment on
that. No,
Public hearing's been closed.
Yeah.
What can we do?
You can, that one.
That's a subdivision.
No, that's a subdivision, so the record's closed.
Can you just hold up, ma'am, just let us finish this.
I thought you wanted to speak on this one.
If you can just hang for another few minutes, okay? There is a public hearing scheduled for this application for council at when?
May 22nd.
Okay, so May 22nd, there's another public hearing before the county council. So you get a swing at it a second time. I also assure you that it's my experience with the commission. I don't want to prejudge the decision of the commission that with a record of this size that we would defer a decision on this application tonight. I assure you we will listen to the tape and review the minutes of the meeting to make sure we accurately understand everybody's comments and what was said in the interim, okay? Is there any other questions by the commission, staff?
No, thank you.
Ms. Cole?
No, thanks.
Is this the case where we leave the, well, we close the public comment, but leave the record open to get the
I think that's something that's open to the commission to acquire outside of the public record, because then we would have to leave a response time and all that, and it's not necessary. This is just a fact. Okay. We're going to collect the fact or not. So,
and it bears mentioning that the county does not have any responsibility for enforcing private deed restrictions. That is something you would have to do, but it is something that can be done, and frequently is done successfully.
Can we, Ms. Cornwell, just explain, we do have a copy of the deed in the record already.
We do?
So with that, we're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional.